We are launching into a new message series called Travel Light. And what I hope we'll do over these next few weeks is to remind ourselves that this world is not our home, that we're just traveling through. We're just traveling through. Over a lifetime, we accumulate a lot of stuff, some junk, some hurts, some seed of discontentment that grows into all kinds of problems. So we're going to be looking at the stuff that holds us down, the stuff that holds us back, so that we can really live what would be a God-honoring life. Next week, we're going to talk about letting go of distractions. We're going to talk about letting go of bitterness. The next Sunday, some of you might want to skip. We're going to talk about control, letting go of control. If you're a control freak, that one might be a painful Sunday. And so today we're talking about letting go of the stuff that holds us down. Now, a key thought in all of this is it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. Less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. The problem is our culture screams the opposite. Our culture tells us that what we're missing is what we need to be happy, what we need to be fulfilled, what we need to be to have that matters in the world. And this goes all the way back to the creation of Adam. God created Adam and he said that it was good, but it wasn't that good because Adam lost his keys and couldn't find them and he needed a woman. So God created woman and they were both naked and he said, be fruitful and multiply and enjoy all of this. I mean, how much better does it get? And then he said, but this tree over here, don't eat the fruit of this tree. And then the serpent shows up. And the serpent says, did God really say not to eat the fruit of this tree? So you see, it goes all the way back to the beginning of creation. What Adam and Eve wanted, what they thought would fulfill their life, was what they couldn't have. And it's the same thing for us. What we need or think we need, or the world tells us we need, is what we think we have to have in order to be satisfied, to be fulfilled, to be happy. Now, I grew up believing this, that, you know, if $1 is good, $2 is better. If one vacation is good, two is better. If one car is good, two is better. But Solomon said this, he said, better is one handful with tranquility, with peace, with joy. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. In other words, it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. So, because life is too valuable, because your call is too great, and because our God is too good, I won't waste my life on things that won't last. Now, Jesus warned us about this. In fact, there's a powerful story about two sons who were excited about their inheritance, and Jesus warns this in Luke 12, verse 15. He says, watch out. Watch out. Be on guard. Now, when we hear a warning like that, we want to literally watch out. And we think of something physical that, you know, I'm going around the corner, I got to be careful. Something might reach out and grab me. We think of something physical. But Jesus is talking about something that's equally as dangerous, and yet it's dangerous to our soul when he says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed because life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. But everything in culture tells us the opposite. But I hope you'll understand that we are not what we have. We are not where we live. We're not what we drive. We're not what we wear. We're not what we own. Even though we've are incredibly quiet right now because I'm getting up in your business, we think this is what we have to be happy, to be cool, to fit in, to be significant, to be important, to be popular. Whatever it is, a house like Joanna Gaines or whatever it is, the lie tells us that this is what we have to be happy. This is what we have to be complete. Have you ever thought that the stuff you have could actually be robbing you of the life that you want? Better is one hand with tranquility than two with toil and stress and anxiety and chasing after the wind. So what we're going to do today, this is the perfect time of year, the perfect time of year to look at one handful living. And so we're going to look at three thoughts on one handful living. First thing with one handful living is to throw out. To throw out like your life depended on it. Because for some people, it actually does. Your life does not consist in the abundance of the junk in your closet, in your drawers, in your attic, in your basement, in your garage, where you can't even park your car now because of the stuff that's in there. It's not your life. It's the lie that says that is what or who you are. So, we're not talking about decluttering, we're talking about de-owning. Because owning less is way better than organizing more. Did you just now start that camera?
It's not my job. I started it. It's video.
I know. I know. And he moves from church to church. He does. Your life does not consist of stuff. There's a guy in the New Testament. We've always heard about him, the rich young ruler. He was rich and he was an up-and-coming ruler and he had a lot of stuff. And he wanted to know about spiritual things. And so he asked Jesus, what do I have to do to get in good with you and God? And Jesus tells him to sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And the scripture says he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, we need to land on this for a minute and talk about it because it's not wrong to have stuff. It's not wrong to have nice stuff. Our God is a generous God. It's wrong when that nice stuff has us. And that's what was wrong with the rich young ruler. He was pursuing a bunch of junk. He had a void in his life, and maybe some of us do too, but that void needs to be filled with the goodness of God and not with stuff. So why do we hold on to our junk? Why can we not let go of it? Why can't we throw out two big reasons why we hold on to our knickknacks, why we hold on to our VHS tapes, why we hold on to those pants that we haven't worn since MC Hammer wore them. And some of you don't even know what a VHS tape is or who MC Hammer is. I'm getting so old. So there's two reasons, and one of those is fear. We are afraid we'll need it. We're afraid we'll need it. I grew up like this. It's a real poverty mindset. We might need that sometime. We'll store it up. We'll hold on to it. We paid for it. We bought it. So why would I give it away? I'm going to hold on to it. So it's fear. But when it comes down to it, if you think about it, that's really a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith because we're not trusting God to take care of our future. We think we have to hold on to what we have because we might not have it in the future. So it's really a lack of faith when it comes down to it. Now, I read about somebody who had this way of living, in that when he would get something, he would give something. So when he would get a new sweater, he would give a sweater. When he got new shoes, he would give a pair of shoes. So if you think about it, if you live like that, then your closet only has in it what you wear, what will fit, what is functional. It's lean, and if you think about it, that's a novel way to manage stuff. It's a novel way. It could work, Amy. It could work. It could. Well, hey. What if I need it in the future? I trust God to provide. Why don't we give? Because we're afraid. Another reason is we're sentimental. We're sentimental about it. This is the first ribbon I got when I was 4 years old. This is the picture that my baby drew for me in the first grade. And this is the picture she drew in the second grade. And here's the 17th one from the fifth grade. And here's the diaper that she first did doo-doo in. Marie Kondo wrote a book on minimalism. And it's called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And it's a strange little book, but here's something she says about sentimental things. She says, to thank them for the purpose they served in the past and bless someone else with it. We did that to Tiffany this weekend. We were cleaning out her room for Tim to come home. And so we went through some stuff with Tiff and said, you need to do something with this. And a lot of it she threw away. Some of it she kept, and some of it stayed in its, I guess, proper place in her old room. So you think about that, you know. You thank God this is the diaper where my, 24 years ago, doo-doo was made here. I've enjoyed it for what it's worth, and now you pass it on to the, garbage man. You thank God for whatever gift it is that you've been given, and you treasure it in your heart, and you pass it on to somebody else. You enjoy it, and then you pass it on. Better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil and chasing after the wind. So the first thing we're going to do is throw out. We're going to throw out. Not throw up, but throw out. We're going to throw out. Second thing we're going to do is buy less. We're going to buy less. Some of you say it's too late. Black Friday got me. To the glory of God in every single way. 62% of people say that they shop to feel better. If you're depressed, you can shop to feel better. It gets the dopamine going, that temporary high. It makes you feel powerful temporarily to buy something. But, what we're really doing is oftentimes is buying something that we don't need with money we don't have to impress the people that we don't even like. So why do we think that that's what we have to have to feel fulfilled or complete or satisfied? Solomon says this in Psalm 119, verse 36 and 37. He says, God calls my heart to bow before your words of wisdom and not to the wealth of this world. We need to heed that. Another version says, to turn away from meaningless things. So what I want to do, and I'm not there yet, but I want to get to the point that my life is so filled with the goodness of God that I don't need things to feel like that's what would make me happy. I don't need things to define me because Jesus has already defined who I am. What we should do is we should look for creating experiences for over things to have experiences. We need to throw out, we need to buy less, and then we need to give more. I love what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy He says this to Paul to Timothy. He said, command those who are rich in this present world. Now, we need to stop there for a minute, because as soon as you hear command those who are rich, you say, yes, I know some rich people. I work with some rich people. I know some rich people. But we need to put this in perspective, in a global perspective. If you drove here today, you are in the top 5 to 7% of the wealthy in this world. If you eat three meals a day, or have the option to eat three meals a day, you're in the 40% of the wealthiest people in the world. If you can order a pizza with one of these phones, you are mega rich. Mega rich. When you put it in global perspective, we are the rich people. We're the rich people. Command those who are rich. This is us in the present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but we put it in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So it's, don't feel guilty to have nice stuff, because we have a generous God. But he doesn't say buy more. He doesn't say hoard. He doesn't say click that buy now on Amazon over and over and over. He doesn't say that. What he says is command those who are rich to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of life that is truly life. Your life does not consist of the abundance of stuff. But when you're a blessing, when you choose experiences, when you overflow with the goodness of God, you're generous. You know, you think about it, I never get emotional about purchases, about having, getting something. Not, you know, when I got my iPhone 10, I felt so much closer to God when I got that. And it's not about hanging on to things, you know. We were going to donate to the fund to get rid of you know, the Bible shortage in the world, but instead we took the family out to Chili's for lunch, you know. I had that refrigerator. I got a new refrigerator, and I had the old one, which was still pretty good, and I knew a single mom that needed it, but instead we kept it in the garage, or at least I think it's in the garage. We kept it, whatever we did with it, we kept it. We don't have those emotional stories about buying or about keeping, but we have an untold number of stories about giving. Better is one handful with tranquility, with contentment, with peace, with joy, than two with toil and chasing after the wind. Less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. The world's not our home, we're just traveling through. Are we accumulating on earth what we cannot keep? Or are we investing in heaven what you can't lose? Traveling light. Throw out, buy less, give more. Less of the stuff that accumulates and gets in the way. More of what matters. Your life is too valuable. Your God is too good to waste this one life on things that don't last. So why is one handful living better? Because if you're just living with one handful, then you have another hand available to help somebody up, to pat them on the back, to pat them, you know, flat-handed, not cup-handed, unless you're married and then you can do all the cup handed you want. But to have that hand available to help people, because your life is not full of the stuff that holds you back. Better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil and chasing after the wind. Less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Let us pray.